The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Happy Monday. Hope you had a good weekend. It sure went quickly. We'll try and get through this week and keep you as informed as we can. There's just too much going on to really put together in one news service and information center like Rents.com. I hope all of you got a chance to see the top video there. DARPA advisor reveals conscious AI supercomputers used for mind control of targeted individuals. No joke. Take a look. It's what we've been saying here for years now, and it is substantiating what we feared, but it's even worse than what they're admitting. Believe it. This is just what's been released, was allowed to be released. They're talking in that video about inhalable, edible, drinkable nanoparticles that are self-replicating and attach themselves to your body and are sending and receiving units, and you can take it from there and connect the dots. So that's a big story. DARPA, just look for the word DARPA in headlines, which are about to be updated momentarily as well. Now, there are two stories today, and this first hour, we're going to talk about one of them. More vaping deaths. At least one confirmed in Kansas, and they're investigating another one in Missouri. The theories as to why young people and people over 40 are dying from vaping continue to evolve. Last week, on Thursday, Dr. Henry Nyman was here to talk about these things and explain to us, and we sort of explored it together. How can this be? What's going on? And there's some indication that it has to do with a lipid covering over the lungs. Lipid as in oil. We're not sure yet. There was one report that it had something to do with how the vaping instruments are manufactured. We're going to talk about that. There are other things as well. So much going on, and I asked Henry if he would come on tonight and update us about this, because these vaping deaths not only don't have to happen, but this may be the tip of the iceberg. Young people, middle schoolers, I even understand that some sixth graders have been reported to be engaged with this practice. So not good. Just quickly, first let me welcome Henry, then I'm going to read a little bit from this story. Hi, Henry. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Jeff. It's good to be here. I'm kind of surprised I'm back this quickly, but there was quite a few developments, as you mentioned, and it included one of your listeners, raising the possibility that the problem really was more in the actual devices that are used to vape, and has to do with the soldering and using lead instead of silver base.
Lead soldering from China. Point. Yeah. We'll talk about that a little later. Another letter I sent you, I don't know if you saw that one, had to do with the actual vaping produce that is put in the devices. That may be spiked with garbage too.
Well, a lot are focusing on that. They're assuming that the deaths as well as the hospitalizations are largely due to people using the devices for THC, and that's generally found in an oil base. And there was a vitamin E acetate found in several of the cases that have been investigated. What's a little tricky, and it kind of gets us back to the device, is that they kind of have them grouped, and you know the majority use THC. Some use both THC and nicotine, and some just use nicotine. And it's the cases that just use nicotine that kind of throws a monkey wrench into the explanations that wanted to zero in on some bad THC or some bad contaminant associated with the THC. And there's some explanations of the ones that are nicotine alone, and that is that the those users really won't admit that it was THC, and so they're basically not giving a complete story, and they're kind of creating this other category. But I'll go through the rationale. There is quite a bit of data that would support a device, and a couple of the things that have to be answered with any explanation is the fact that it's nationwide. It's largely centered in the United States. There's been one case in Canada, but as of last week, it was up to 530 cases in the U.S., and all of the deaths have been in the U.S. The deaths, as you mentioned, there was another death reported, confirmed today in Kansas. He was in his 50s, and it is becoming increasingly clear that the deaths are largely found in older users, that the bulk of the cases are really 67% are between the ages of 18 and 35. And two of the nine deaths, the age hasn't been disclosed. But for the other seven, they're all 40 years of age or older. And
that's
and
really
so they're
interesting.
All above the age of you know, the highest user group.
I'll say that's very interesting. The older demographic on this, you would think otherwise, but that's suggestive that there may be some.
It's not that unusual. I think it comes down to you know, the younger people get sick and go on the ECMO machines, and but they're younger and they recover more readily, and they end up having severe breathing difficulties, but they recover, whereas those that are a little bit older have a much more difficult time.
Well, I was going to suggest that very thing, that physiologically there's differences.
With SARS, if you recall.
Yes, I do.
But, most of the deaths there were also, they weren't that old. They were 40 and 50 years old, so they were older.
Well, medical professionals, but most of them, health professionals, they were wiped out in some hospitals, a lot of them, in Canada.
Yeah, so there is that susceptibility that you know, those that are 40 and 50 aren't generally going to just, you know, fall over and die, but if they get a serious illness, they don't recover quite as well as, you know, teenagers or very young adults. And
Henry, excuse me. Hold on. One other thing, you brought up SARS, and we should mention that in Canada, some extraordinarily high percentage of the victims were Asian or Filipino hospital healthcare workers.
But that's who most of the hospital healthcare workers were at the one hospital in Toronto. There are a few facilities, but there is one main hospital, and most of the more serious cases in Canada were in Toronto, and the healthcare workers there were largely a population from the Philippines that had come to Canada, and some came just to work and some were living there. But that I think was the explanation there, and then for the rest of the, you know, the majority of the other cases were, you know, directly connected to China, where the outbreak really began. And so most of the victims were Asian, but I think that was more a matter of who was
physical proximity
relative to the virus, right?
Now, and, here's a breaking story for you. Hold on. Let's do this and get you. In Massachusetts, there is a great deal of alarm in the state. The governor is now stepping forward saying that the nationwide outbreak of vaping-related illnesses has our full attention. He declined to say what measures the state may take, but he said we're watching it very, very closely. This, if you don't know and you're listening for the first time, vaping causes some kind of chemically related toxic lung injury, and it's fatal to some people. And you heard what Henry said about who and why. We don't know quite yet, but what is the total number of fatalities to this point? Do we know, Henry?
The one that fall into the confirmed category is 9. There is one other one. It's actually in Mississippi. And she was younger. She was 27. And she died about 4 days ago. And she did do vaping. But they were waiting for autopsy done by the coroner. And it's been 4 days, so I'm not sure. You know, she has not been declared a case, and so that one is just a suspect case. But interestingly, just to show how this is just starting to take off, the same day that her death was announced, they announced the first confirmed case in Mississippi. And then today they had a headline saying there are still no confirmed deaths in Mississippi, but they added 2 more. So now they're up to 3 cases in Mississippi. Hmm. And that's part of the reason there's so much concern, is that this is a fairly recent development, and the numbers are going up fairly quickly. I mean, last week, the number jumped from 380 to 530, so it was 150 in 1 week. Now that was due in part because they were still trying to zero in on what population they're going to talk about. When they first started talking about it, they talked about possible cases in addition to confirmed and probable cases. And then they cut it back to just confirmed and probable. And the number went down a little bit to to the 380, and then when I went back to 550, some of those 150 were the possible cases that they were able to get it to the definition, the case definition. The case definition basically requires that the person has been been vaping in the last 90 days, has pneumonia confirmed by X-ray. And the confirmed cases do not have any evidence of an infection. So they've been tested for viruses and bacteria that could be causing the pneumonia, and they come up negative. The probable cases are the ones that are tested, and they come up positive on one test or another, but that test doesn't indicate there's really enough of an infectious agent there to really cause the pneumonia that's seen in the X-ray. So those are
okay. We need to straighten out
this. It's not a coincidence of those cases.
Yeah, we've got to straighten this out a little bit for our listeners and for me. So, what is killing these people? Pneumonia, an infectious agent in some cases, a physical, structural, chemical injury to the lungs, which the body, in some cases, can't repair, i.e. the lung openings are somehow clogged with a lipid, an oil, or there may be something in the THC, CBD, nicotine, or a combination thereof that is doing another kind of damage to the lungs. We just, at this point, I guess, don't know for sure, correct?
Well, here's some of the things that we do know, and that's why I say a lot of these explanations don't really fully address the data. Now, what we do know is the vaping industry, is insisting that it's not vaping per se. It's some type of contaminant, and it is because people are using it to take THC, and there's something wrong with the THC, or there's something wrong with the carrier associated with the THC. And that is why it's a recent event. These cases really just began in April, and the first reports of any deaths was less than a month ago. So it's and the vapor industry notes that vaping has been around for about a dozen years now. So their argument is that everything was fine until this year, as far as having these severe injuries to the lungs, and therefore is not the vaping per se, is some additional contaminant that's associated with people buying street drugs and something gets thrown in there, and then inhaling that is causing the problems. But an alternative explanation really kind of zeroes in on the idea that it could be something akin to what one reader had mentioned, which was to use lead solder instead of silver solder. And I saw that email and kind of did a little bit of research in the last few days.
Yeah, it was from one of our listeners.
There was any science.
And we appreciate that email, by the way. Thanks to the listener who sent that.
Correct. That really kind of did allow for some analysis to see if that explanation could clarify exactly why it would have happened just this year, and why it would have happened not only to those taking the THC, but also those taking nicotine, and why the THC would be more common, and even why 3/4 of the cases are male. And I started doing the analysis by just looking at the differences in the melting point of lead and silver, which are kind of the two forms of
solder.
solder that's used in some of the devices anyway, according to this person who has contacts in China, and he said that they opted for the lead base just as a cost-saving measure. They had to come in at a low enough price that they would end up getting the contract. And it's not unusual for, you know, a company that has a contract to be making it for multiple device makers because they've got the machinery and the equipment and the approved protocols to put these devices together. But is interesting is that there's, you know, a significant difference in the melting point between lead, which is in the neighborhood of, if I do it all in Fahrenheit, it's around 250 degrees Fahrenheit, whereas silver is over 700 degrees Fahrenheit. And the devices that are used, there's kind of this new improved version. And you don't really have to take my word for it. You can basically go to the patent that was filed. And the patent that was filed really goes hits it right on the money as far as the idea that the newer devices allow you to dial up the temperature of the device as to how high you want to heat the product. Huh. And the newer devices allow you to use the lower settings for a water-soluble product, which was what the common product was in the past for delivering nicotine. But it also lets you go up higher to go into oil-based products. And the oil-based products are what's commonly used with the THC. And that's also used with the vitamin E acetate, which was found in many of the cases that were using the device for THC. And this patent, interestingly enough, was filed on February 26, 2016.
All right. All right. Let me hold you right there. We have to hold on, Henry. The patent was filed February 2016. So hold that spot. We'll come right back and pick it up with Dr. Henry Nyman in just a minute. And probably more than a few of you listening do vape. And I want to make it clear that this is not related to smoking THC or nicotine. Nicotine is not good to smoke, obviously, but a lot of people smoke marijuana. That's a whole different thing. Smoke and what vaping produces, not the same thing. Be right back. Okay, let's get right back to Dr. Henry Nyman and picking up the latest on the vaping death epidemic. Hard to use the word epidemic, but we don't know where this is going. There's a lot of vapors out there. All right, Henry.
Okay, so right before the break, I just got into the patent, which I think is kind of the key here, especially if it has something to do with the device. And this patent was filed at the beginning of 2016, and it issued on January 24th, 2017. It's a U.S. patent, and the name of the title of the patent is Vaporization Device Systems and Methods. And it,
what was that? I'm sorry, Henry. Please repeat that. Vaporization device and then what?
Systems and methods.
Systems and methods. Okay.
Right. And the first two authors on the patent were James Monsees and Adam Bowen. And those are the two founders of Juul. The patent was assigned to PAX Labs, and PAX Labs spun out Juul. The two authors, the two lead inventors on the patent actually were the two founders of Juul. And this is kind of their device. And the abstract, says, vaporization devices and methods of operating them. In particular, described herein are methods for controlling the power applied to a resistive heater of a vaporization device by measuring the resistance of the resistance heater at discrete intervals. Changes in the resistance may be used to control the power applied to heat the resistive heater during the operation. Also described herein are vaporization devices that are configured to measure the resistance of the resistive heater during the heating and control the application power to the resistive heater based on resistance values. So that's kind of the summary of the invention. And then within the patent itself, it goes into, melting point. And, it says the preferred embodiment, the tobacco or botanical, is heated to about 300 degrees centigrade. Now, 300 degrees centigrade translates into 572 degrees Fahrenheit at most. Other preferred embodiments is heated to about 200, and other preferred is about 160. And then the reason it's picked these is that that allows for, the pyrolysis of tobacco or botanicals, does not typically occur, yet vapor formation, is nearly complete. And it says, depending on the temperature, since propylene glycol has a boiling point of 180 to 190 degrees centigrade, and vegetable glycerin will boil at approximately 280 to 290, and those are the two main components. The vegetable glycerin is the oils that's used for THC, and the propylene glycol is the carrier that's used for the nicotine. So it essentially, you know, to put it in simpler terms, that they made a device that will allow the temperature to be regulated, and that at the lower temperature, it can be used to vaporize water-soluble materials, and at the higher temperature, it'll vaporize the oil-based materials.
Well, you said something very interesting there, Henry, and that we don't want that to go past. The temperature gradients you mentioned, 500 degrees Fahrenheit or whatever it was, is certainly higher than the temperature needed to melt or dissolve lead, but not high enough to melt or dissolve silver.
Exactly right. And so essentially, because of these newer devices, now the patent didn't issue, it's 2017 on this, and I'm fairly confident that most of the devices that are covered by this patent didn't really go into large-scale production until after this patent issued. And so these are relatively new devices that allow this spread in the temperature. And as you said, that if they were using it to take water-soluble and there was some lead, it might release a little bit of lead. But if they go up to this higher temperature, which is what is required to vaporize the oils, then that is well above the melting point of lead, and that you're going to release lead and potentially other heavy metals that are present in
Wouldn't you think, Henry, that an autopsy should be able to determine rather quickly if lead were involved in the chemical damage to the lungs? That's kind of a simple thing to do.
I'm sure that those are some of the measurements that are being taken right now, because other researchers have looked at this, but the published data is a little bit early. I mean, there was a group at Johns Hopkins that did a study that was published a few years ago. And what they did is they went to vaping conventions and signed up enrollees to provide their device for their study, and they looked at what kind of metals were on the heating coil and what was released in the vapor and what was in the unit itself, and they did find lead, and they actually didn't know where the lead was coming from, because the heating coil, which is what they focused on, didn't have lead. So they found that the heating coil had some heavy metals, but they didn't have lead. And but the vapor, after they created the vapor with this device, did have lead. The lead at that level, though, was above recommended levels. So they said there's a potential hazard here. But what's interesting is that they collected these devices in 2015, and so the devices they collected and did the testing would have been earlier devices that wouldn't have this higher temperature range. And so they would be doing this testing really at the lower temperature range, which is used for the water-soluble delivery of nicotine. And they recently did another follow-up study, and they said the origins of the lead was a mystery in their study. But so there's the potential that the solder was a potential source even way back in 2015. But the levels that would have been vaporized would have been significantly higher if they were subjected to heating coils that would bring it up to 500 to 550 degrees Fahrenheit, which is what is described in this patent application, and what is actually the case for the newer devices. So that's the type of data that kind of raises the possibility that that the device with the ability to go to the higher temperature, which is a prerequisite to vaporize the oil-based products, which is what is the preferred carrier for the THC, and is also with the vitamin E, that those could explain those phenomena. The reason it's recent is that these newer devices had to come into play, and these devices are widespread, so that would help explain why it's not a localized to some city or state or neighborhood, because a bad batch of something came out, and why it would be kind of happening across the country all simultaneously. And as it turns out, as you increase the wattage and the strength of the electric current, you could make more vapor, so you get a much more concentrated hit. And that might explain the difference between male and female, that the males might just be pushing to get this big hit as quick as possible, and they're cranking it up to a higher temperature, which would lead to more heavy metals and lead.
Another case of macho mortality. All right, here's a story that just broke. Federal prosecutors in California have begun conducting a criminal probe into e-cigarette maker Juul Labs. This, according to people familiar with the entire matter, escalating law enforcement scrutiny of the startup company. The investigations by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Northern District of California is in its early stages, the people did say, but the focus of the probe could not be learned. Now, when you go to the Juul site, their mission statement is the smoking alternative, unlike any e-cigarette or vape. Juul, our mission is to improve the lives of the world's 1 billion adult smokers. Shop vaporizers and Juul pods on the official Juul website. Take a look. They're all there. So that's one company. I guess it's the company's just doing a big business quickly.
No, Juul has, I don't know, at least 75% of the market. So they are actually they filed a patent infringement case against a large number of manufacturers and in that patent infringement document, they go and they show their market share. And for 2018, and it was a big number. I don't remember what. I think the increase was like 95% of the increase for the whole industry. Hmm. So they had the lion's share of it. They were suing these other makers more for how the products looked. I mean, they make the product that looks kind of like a thumb drive, or you know, it's sleek and small and easily concealable, and that's become very popular. So Juul has been the leader in this field, and that was their mission. I mean, the two inventors that I mentioned were both former smokers, and their mission was to basically have a safe alternative, and that was some of the pitch that they would give to younger potential users that the vaping devices were much safer than cigarettes.
Well, they're under investigation now.
The alternative.
By the feds. Let me get you to comment on this. Here's another email I got from John. Thank you, John. He writes, here is what was really causing the vaping problems. Now, this is his opinion. It was bootleg cartridges spiked with drugs. Because the makers were unscrupulous, as a carrier, they used vitamin E instead of water-soluble vegetable glycerin. Vitamin E is a lot cheaper, but it is an oil your lungs cannot absorb. If vaped out just fine. So if it still vapes out, use it, right? He's asking questions here. So we got a vitamin E vegetable glycerin thing, which you mentioned earlier tonight.
Right, right. And the problem with that as the explanation is the CDC said that they did find vitamin E acetate in many of the cases, especially those that used it for THC. But they didn't find it in all of the cases, and that was you know, what they said about the THC is the same thing, is that they can, so the one case for whether people use THC or not, for their device, that they kind of have to rely upon what the user says. You know, they say, well, I've only used it for nicotine. I've never used it for THC. And, you know, short term, they can't really, you know, distinguish between somebody that really did use it for THC, but said they didn't, and somebody that really didn't use it. But right. as far as the vitamin E acetate, they weren't relying upon testimony to determine whether they used vitamin E acetate. They detected the vitamin E acetate in the patients. And so, there they had direct measurements that indicated that was in some of the patients, particularly those with THC, but it wasn't in all of the patients with THC, and it wasn't in patients that basically used it for just the nicotine. So that wouldn't rely upon testimony of the user. That would rely upon, you know, physical analysis of the individuals that were that met the case definition. So you know, the explanation is that is one of the thickeners that's used. So that is part of the oil base, and you know, even what's mentioned in the patent, the vegetable glycerin, I mean, that is what's used in the oil base. And it really has to do with the product and how soluble it is and how easily it evades and how it tastes and those things. So a lot of these kind of meet the requirement for, you know, being a positive for the user as far as is immediate experience, but that doesn't mean they're safe for your lungs. and as I said last week, you know, the idea that you're actually vaporizing oil and coating your lungs with oil is just not a good idea. You know, that's pretty damn dumb.
Come on, it's suicidal. Yeah. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, people don't really think about that part of it.
Yeah.
They don't think about, you know, the bad things that are going in their lungs. They basically think that, well, they're not getting, you know, the tars and other particles that are associated with combustion of tobacco leaves. So they get rid of some of those undesirable elements, but replacing it with the oils really isn't that good of an idea. But the other point is this patent, you know, patents these devices that can go through this whole range of temperatures, and specifically gives the boiling point of the vegetable glycerins. And vegetable glycerins are the oils that are used in most of the THC applications. And so that's kind of what's new and different. And that's why, you know, the argument that, well, you know, people have been vaping for the last 12 years. Well, they may have been vaping for that time period, but they haven't been vaping at these higher temperatures for an extended time period. And it's only really been a couple of years, and it is a matter of them gaining more and more market share. And so even though they might have been introduced a year or two ago, it could have taken a year or two first to get to a critical mass where enough people had devices that could go to the higher temperature, and enough people had you know, devices that, you know, maybe had lead solder instead of silver solder. And and that those devices would be the ones that would be more likely to cause those types of problems. Now I don't know that the Juul device itself is using lead, you know, so it's a little hard to say, you know, how many devices have lead and how many devices would produce this number of cases, you know, how widespread are these? And so I really don't know whether this has anything to do with, the actual Juul device, but I know that the Juul device, based upon their patent application, is capable of, heating to a wide temperature range. And that higher range is specifically designed for the vegetable glycerin, and that the THC is in the vegetable glycerin, as is the vitamin E acetate. So people that are smoking that type of material are going to be going to the higher temperatures, and if there is lead solder, you know, that would be very susceptible to releasing or vaporizing those metals, because the 550 degrees or 500 or degrees, either of them, is significantly higher than the melting point of the lead, and would lead to the release of some of those chemicals. Those metals, heavy metals. On the one hand, it's a little early to kind of nail things down exactly what they're going after Juul. I didn't see that. I knew that they were launching a criminal investigation of the supply chain, and the device would certainly be in the supply chain.
There are three different stories right off the top: Wall Street Journal, The Verge, and the San Francisco Chronicle, all mentioning this criminal investigation into Juul. I'm not able to spend time and figure out why, and we will have to watch it. But in summary, the bottom line is, until we know what's going on, I would implore all of you out there, no vaping. Just stop it. Don't do it. Something else.
And the other point is, I mean, some have said, well, you know, there's only, you know, last week they were saying there's only been 7 deaths, you know, then there's only been 8 deaths, now there's only been 9 deaths. That is the number of, you know, confirmed deaths, and it is, a month ago there were 0 confirmed deaths. So, you know, those numbers are going up, you know, relatively quickly to go from 0 to 10 or 9, I guess, right now, in less than a month is a pretty quick increase. And a lot of physicians didn't even know about, you know, what they should be looking for. So the MMWR that came out is probably going to get more attention and more physicians reporting cases. And the deaths are just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's 9 deaths, but there's 530 cases. Actually, there's more than 530. There were 530 last week. And, you know, for, you know, the example of the Mississippi, they've gone from 0 to 3 in the last few days or so. And so that's
gone on
across the country.
Okay. Henry, thank you for jumping in, and I just don't want to see people get damaged, sick, or dead from this. Not good. Thank you. We'll talk to you later
on.
You're
right. It is a serious problem, and it sounds like it's a quickly developing story also.
All right. We'll talk to you later in the week, perhaps.
Okay. Very good. Good talking.
Thank you.
Take care.
All righty. Dr. Henry Nyman, PhD. All right. We'll be right back with more. I'm going to do something the next hour. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play, and we'll stop and maybe talk a little bit through it. That DARPA video. DARPA advisor reveals conscious AI supercomputers used for mind control of targeted individuals. I'm going to play this, so we're all going to listen to it together. And then David John Oates will be with us a little later in the next hour to do his reverse speech tonight as well. All right, stand by, and we'll be back.